In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today we will continue our study in the Gospel of St. Mark, starting from chapter 7. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. You know, the Pharisees and the scribes were the enemies of the Lord, and most of them were living in Jerusalem. But the Lord was living in Galilee, in the northern part of Palestine. That's why they came to him, just to prove that he is doing false. And they saw the disciples eat the bread with unwashed hands. And according to their tradition, this is kind of doing mistakes or sin against the law. His disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hand, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. You know, because St. Mark was writing his gospel to the Romans, and the Romans had nothing to do with the law of the Jews, they do not know what's exactly the tradition of the Jew. That's why he should mention this kind of tradition. But when you go to the Gospel of St. Matthew, you won't find these details, because St. Matthew was writing to the Jews, and they know quite well the tradition of the law. And you know, it's not the tradition of the law itself, it's the tradition of the elders, because many of them added much to what is written according to Moses. That's why it's not the word of God, but now it was the word of man. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" You know, when they confronted the Lord with what the disciples were doing, he answered them with the prophecy of Isaiah, blaming them, saying that "these people honors me only by their lips," which means that they do not worship him honestly. They do not love him from their hearts. They just keep the picture of worshiping, the picture of being men of God, but they do not love him. They do not obey his word. And they, following their teaching, the commandments of men, not his commandments. And then he said, "For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do." He said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Sometimes it comes to be that when you follow the tradition of man, you are just rejecting the word of God, because the tradition of man may stand against the word of God. In this case, they are the people who offended the word of God." He said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me is Korban. That's a gift of God. Then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect. Through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. Another example the Lord gave them, that they said, according to the word of God given by Moses, honor your father and mother. And for those who do not honor their mother or father or curse them, they should die. But they changed the meaning of this word, and they said that just give a prophet, a korban, to the altar, just to respect or honor your father and mother. You know, by saying so, they will get this prophet and they will make use of this korban. And by saying so, they break the Lord's word, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. So after this conversation happened between the Lord and the Pharisees, then the multitude came nearer to him, and he was revealing this truth. When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters the man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. In order to cover the subject raised by the Pharisees for those disciples who were just eating without unwashed hands, he revealed this meaning, that it's not sin just to eat whatever or wash your hands, but the sin comes out of the heart. So he said so. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him. He means eating and drinking. But the things which come out of him, mean the word, the acts coming out of the inside of the man, those are things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So he is saying that you should listen carefully and also understand the meaning. So this means that the Lord is always focusing on our hearts, on our acts, on our words, not on what we eat or what we drink. He is always caring of the interior of the man, not the exterior, not the picture from the outside that men see, but from inside that no one can see. When he had entered the house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. I mean, the parable just given now, that from the inside or the outside. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters the man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods? First, the Lord said to the disciples, I expected that you understand the meaning easily, because they saw him living a very normal life, but he is very pure from the inside, and all his words and acts were perfect. So easily they can get the meaning. That's why he started saying, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever entered the man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart. You know, the food will not go inside our hearts, but the bad idea, the bad emotions can stay inside our hearts. So by going to the stomach and is eliminated, this, you know, purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man, for from within out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. So the Lord gave us a list of sins coming out of the heart, because all the acts or the words or whatever bad attitude comes first from the heart, from the thoughts inside. And you know, you can see that major sins here were listed, and also what we do not care sometimes, like pride and foolishness. So these are beside the deceit, fornication, murders. So all sins are forbidden. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered the house and wanted no one to know it, but he couldn't be hidden. You know, many times the Lord did not prefer to be seen by the people, to spend more time with himself or more time with his disciples. And this area was not full of Jews, but they were full of pagans. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syro-Phoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is no good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." You know, this harsh meaning given by the Lord was just a common sentence said by the Jews. That's why he just used it to show his disciple that this Canaanite woman had a great faith. "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." By saying so, this woman showed everybody that she believed in his power, and she is asking for the miracle, even if he said that this miracle is given only to the children, not to the dogs. And even after he considered her as the Jew, considered her as a dog, she accepted this just to take the miracle. That's why the Lord was happy with her faith and with her consistency. And he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. You know, we need such faith. We need to believe in the power of the Lord. We need to believe in the power of prayer. This woman had no teacher to teach her how to pray, but she was insisting that she might get the miracle out of the Lord. She needed it badly. She needs the power of the Lord to cast out the demon out of her daughter's heart. And she got it by praying, by consistency. And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. Again departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of the Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him, and he took him aside from the multitude. You know, St. Mark is always mentioning the areas and the regions by their names, just to show the Romans how he was going here and there, because the Romans had nothing to do with these areas, and they are not acquainted with the towns of the Palestine people. But for Saint Matthew, he was not mentioning much the areas, because the Jews know very well their areas. This deaf man brought to the Lord, he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," and that's be opened. You know, that was strange, that in this miracle he did not just put his hand on him. He took him aside. He took him away from the people, as if telling him, "You are important to me. I want just do the miracle to you. I want to show you my love." Because the people were looking at them, waiting for the miracle, and this man was embarrassed seeing the people just looking at him. So he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. You know, he is just trying to tell him what is he going to do, although this man is deaf. So he put his fingers in his ears as if saying to him, "I'm going to open your ears." And then he looked up to heaven as if telling him, "Just look up to heaven, pray with me, ask the Lord for the miracle." And then he just said one word, "Ephphatha," and this word can be read from the lips, you know. So, and this word means be opened. And by doing this simple thing, the man healed. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things. He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This miracle showed us that the Lord is not, you know, just healing our physical sicknesses, but He is also touching our souls and our spirits. He is telling everybody that I really care. I can feel your emotions. I don't want anybody to see this personal relation between me and you. And I can open your ears and open your mouth and also clean your heart. I can do everything. You can see in the Gospel of St. Mark that St. Mark is mentioning too much miracles, but he is not mentioning much teaching, because the Romans who were accepting this gospel, men of acts, men of actions, they do not care much to listen to teachings and parables, but they care much for the acts and actions. Chapter 8. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar." The multitude being very great, they couldn't eat much because he is moving from an area to the other, and they want to hear every single word given by him. So they forgot to eat. They now hungry and thirsty. So the Lord cared for this and said to them, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days having nothing to eat." So although the people lost their interest in eating and drinking, the Lord was caring for their physical status, and he was mentioning the food and drink beside mentioning the word of God. If I send them away hungry to their own house, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. By saying so, the Lord is teaching his disciples to care not only for the spirits of the people, but also for the bodies of the people. We care for the man himself completely in all aspects of life. We should care for our congregation by teaching the word of God, and also by helping the poor, by healing the sick, by helping whoever needs help. So we are just following up with our congregation in all aspects. Then his disciples answered him, "How can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness?" He asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, 7. You know, we had another miracle before with the 5 loaves. This time there were 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks. You know, the crowd was waiting him just to let them go, to run away, to so they can catch marketplaces to get food. But actually, he ordered everybody to sit down as if he's starting another sermon. And the people followed him and sat down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said, to set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. You know, it's exactly what happened before, that they put the crowd into many groups, and they took the bread out of the hands of the Lord. By giving thanks to the Lord, the miracle happened, and they could give everybody what he needs of loaves and even some small fish they have. The fish at that time were not counted because they are very small, but they could cover the whole need of the whole congregation. And also, you know, they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Again, the Lord focused on the leftover fragments, just to tell us, don't ignore the fragment. Consider every single fragment. We can make miracles even by fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away immediately, got into the boat with his disciples, and came to the region of Dalmanutha. By counting the people, this kind of counting happened because they put the people into groups. So by saying this group is 100 and this group is 50, they can count people. And you know, their system of counting were just counting man and his family. So this 4,000 men, usually with their families, women and children. Again, you can see in the gospel of the blessings, like the gospel of the story of the 5 loaves, or this one of the 7 loaves, you can see numbers. So numbers do not stand against the blessing of the Lord. Being gracious, the Lord, he considered the system, the order. He is caring for the numbers, but he can cover all the needs we need. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why doth this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation." Although the Lord had made many miracles, and the multitude saw the miracles, and everybody witnessed the miracles, but the Pharisees wanted again a sign because they couldn't believe in him after such time. So they asked for another sign, but the Lord refused to give them the sign because their heart was stubborn, was like stony heart. So whatever signs or miracles seen, they couldn't believe. That's why he refused to give them the sign. And this also teaches us that we shouldn't wait for signs from the Lord always. We need his caring. We need his parenthood. We need his touching. But we do not need signs all the time. From that time, the Pharisees will start fighting him and trying to get him away from the town. And we will see next time what will happen. Glory to God. Amen.